All right, we are into It's a Wonderful Life. If you're a fan of the movie at all, I'm sure you recognize a lot of the dialogue, but perhaps you don't remember the movie moving quite this slowly. I think what we're going to do is do a little selective editing here. Now, the parts that we've decided we've got to have in are the run on the bank.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You got to have that.
Yeah.
You got to have George getting mad at Uncle Billy and slapping him around. You got to have the guy in the cab pick up George, take him around town, show him what his life would be like if he wasn't around. You got to have the big scene with George and Potter. And then you wind it up with a big happy party. Now, have I left out any important parts?
Do you think you could selectively edit as we go along here?
Well, let's get into the scene with the savings and loan, with the run on the bank. All right. Now, I think we can go past this part where George and Mary are talking about going for their honeymoon.
You go to page 202.
Page 202. All right. Yeah, I'm with you. Hold on. Maybe back on page 200. Or no, 202. You're right, Buzz. I'm with you.
All right.
Page 202. Or no, you know what? Let's start it on page 201.
Okay.
Because it says right there, don't look now. There's something funny going on over there at the bank.
I don't have a 201.
Or page 200. I'm sorry, Buzz.
Okay.
Page 200.
Okay.
I think we should also say here that Mary and George got married.
Duh.
Right. Well, I don't know. Yeah,
well, no, I'm kidding, right? I think most people know that Mary and George ended up getting married. Oh, although I guess there are some. Diana has never seen the movie, have you, Diana?
No.
So,
oh, my
God. So
gosh.
I take it back. You did not know that Mary. Well, Diana? Mary and George get married.
Wow.
And now we're at the point in the movie now where they're just about to go on their honeymoon, right?
And George has saved up a bunch of money for their honeymoon.
That's right. And he's ready. And they're ready to go on a fabulous honeymoon with a lot of money.
Now, Buzz, can you ad-lib any kind of intro for us here?
Well, as I was saying before the break, George and Mary got married and, of course, went to Ernie's cab to take off on their honeymoon.
So we start with Ernie, who's talking to passerby.
Hey, don't look now, but there's something funny going on over there at the bank, George. I've never really seen one, but that's got all the earmarks of a run.
Hey, Ernie, if you got any money in the bank, you better hurry.
George follows the crowd to the Bailey Building and Loan and unlocks the door and enters to find Uncle Billy.
Hold on. Ring.
Here we go.
I'm here. Hey, you moron, why didn't you call me?
I just did, but they said you left. This is a pickle, George. This is a pickle.
All right, now, what happened? How did it start?
How does anything like this ever start? All I know is the bank called our loan.
When?
About an hour ago, George. I had to hand over all our cash.
All of it?
Every cent of it! And it still was less than we owe.
Holy mackerel, Jesus Christ!
And then I got scared, George. And I closed the doors.
The whole town has gone crazy.
Yes. Ring, ring, ring. Hello? Hello? We'd love to have Santa Claus. No, George, it's Potter.
All right, give me the phone. Hello?
George?
Yeah?
There's a rumor around town that you've closed your doors. Is that true? Oh, well, I'm very glad to hear that. George, are you all right? Do you need any police?
Police? What for?
Well, mobs get pretty ugly sometimes. You know, George, I'm going to go all out to help in this crisis. I've just guaranteed the bank sufficient funds to meet their needs. They'll close up for a week and then reopen.
Hey, Uncle Billy, you idiot. Listen to this. He just took over the bank.
I may lose a fortune, but I'm willing to guarantee your people, too. You just tell them to bring their shares over here, and I will pay them 50 cents on the dollar.
Oh, you never miss a trick, do you, Potter? Well, you're gonna miss this one, old man.
If you close your doors before 6 p.m., you'll never reopen.
And now all the people are going crazy. There's like sirens going outside. There's a big run on the bank. And now I'm standing here in front of a bunch of angry people. People, can you be angry, please?
Where's my money?
All right, now, hold on.
Hold on.
Back off.
Mother, father.
I got some news for you folks. I just talked to that old coot Potter, and he has guaranteed cash payments at the bank. The bank is going to reopen next week.
Yay! But George, right. I got my money here. Did he guarantee this place?
Well, no, Charlie. I didn't even ask him. You know, we don't need Potter over here.
I'll take mine now.
No, but you're thinking of this place all wrong, as if I had the money back in a safe. Your money is not here. Your money is in Joe's house. and you, Cannon, right next to yours, and you, Billy, in the Reed house, and you, Sherry, and 100 others, while you're lending them the money to build, and they're going to pay it back to you as best they can. Now what are you going to do? Foreclose on them?
I got $242 in here, and $242 isn't going to break anybody.
All right, Tom, here you are. You sign this, you'll get your money in 60 days.
60 days?
Well, now that's what you agreed to when you bought your shares.
Tom, did you get your money?
No.
Well, I did. Old man Potter pays 50 cents on the dollar for every share you got.
50 hey. Cents on the dollar?
Hey, that's not bad.
Yeah,
all right,
cash.
All right.
George, what do you say to that?
Now, Tom, you have to stick to your original agreement. Now, just give us 60 days on this.
Okay, Randall.
Are you going to go to Potter's?
Better to get half than nothing.
Randall. Now listen to me. I beg of you not to do this thing. If Potter gets hold of this building and loan, there'll never be another decent house built in this town. He's already got the bank, he's got the bus line, he's got the department stores, he's running the crack houses, and now he's after us. Why? It's very simple. Because we're cutting out on his business, that's why, and because he wants to keep you living in his slums and paying the kind of rent that he decides. You, Billy Reed. You lived in one of those houses, didn't you? Have you forgotten what he charged you for that broken-down shack? And you, Sherry, you remember last year when things weren't going so well and you couldn't make your payments? You didn't lose your house, did you? Do you think Potter would have let you keep it? And Buzz Burbank!
Yeah.
Can't you understand what's happening here? Don't you see what's happening? Potter isn't selling. Potter's buying. Hmm. And why? Because we're panicking and he's not. Wow. That's why he's picking up some bargains. Now, we can get through this thing, all right. We got to stick together, though. We've got to have faith in each other.
That was a great monologue. I'm going to give you a round of applause for that one.
Thank you.
That was wonderful.
I missed my calling. Thank you.
But my husband, he hasn't worked in over a year, and I need the money.
Oh, jeez. How much do you need? Hey, hold on. Look here. I got $2,000. Here's $2,000. This will tide us over until the bank reopens. Okay, Billy, how much do you need?
$242.
Oh, Tom, you big pain in the keister. Just enough to tide you over until the bank reopens.
I'll take $242.
Oh, all right. There you are.
That'll close my account.
No. Your account is still here. That is a loan. Okay, all right. Robbie?
Ed, I got $300 here, George.
Oh, no, Ed.
Oh, now, Robbie, what'll it take till the bank reopens? Tell me, what do you really need?
Dear, I suppose $20 will do.
$20, now you're talking. Thanks, Robbie. And Mrs. Thompson, how much do you want?
But it's your own money, George.
Never mind about that. How much do you want?
I guess I can get along with 20, all right.
$20, 17, 18, 19, 20?
Oh, and I'll sign the papers.
You don't have to sign anything. I'll take yours in skin. I know you'll pay it back when you can. That's okay. Okay, Mrs. Davis?
Could I have 75? I'm sorry, 1750. I'm illiterate. I can't read. I'm old.
1750. Bless your heart. Of course you can have it. You got 50 cents? $17. There you go.
The Baileys made it through the banking crisis just barely. They locked the doors with just $2 left.
George, there's a call for you.
Look, will you get Frida on the phone? She's probably over at Big Frida's.
Mrs. Bailey's on the phone.
I don't want Mrs. Bailey. I want my wife. Mrs. Bailey. Oh, that's my wife. Here, I'll take it here. Mary? Hello. Listen, dear, I'm sorry. What? You want me to come home?
So George went home to a night of wedded bliss with his wife. But all is not so cheery throughout Bedford Falls. In Mr. Potter's office.
Look, Mr. Potter, it's no skin off my nose. I'm just your little rent collector, but you can't laugh off this Bailey Park anymore. Look at it.
Mr. Potter, Congressman Blatz is here to see you.
Don't tell the congressman to wait. Go on.
15 years ago, a half dozen houses stuck here and there. There's the old cemetery, squirrels, buttercups, daisies. Used to hunt rabbits there myself, but look at it today. Dozens of the prettiest little homes you ever saw. 90% owned by suckers who used to pay rent to you. Your Potter's Field, my dear Mr. Employer, is becoming just that. And all the local yokels making with those David and Goliath wisecracks.
No, they are they? Even though they know the
Baileys haven't made a dime out of it.
You know why very well. The Baileys were all chumps. Every one of those homes is worth twice what it cost the building and loan to build. If I were you, Mr. Potter...
Well, you're not me. Yes. You're Rob A., damn it.
As I say, it's no skin off my nose. But one of these days, this bright young man is going to be asking George Bailey for a job.
The Bailey family has been a boil, a shanker on my neck long enough.
And so the evil Mr. Potter sets up a friendly meeting with his archenemy, George Bailey.
Thank you. Wow, that's quite a fatty you've just given me. Don't bogart that fatty, Mr. Potter.
You like it? I'll send you a box.
Well, I suppose I'll find out sooner or later, but... just what exactly did you want to see me about?
George, that's what I like. That's what I like about you.
Mm-hmm.
George, I'm an old man, and most people hate me.
I hate you.
But I don't like them either, so that makes it all even. You know, just as well as I do, that I run practically everything in this town but the Bailey Building alone. You know also that for a number of years I've been trying to get control of it or kill it, but I haven't been able to do that. You've been stopping me. In fact, you've beaten me, George. And as anyone in this country, or this county for that matter, can tell you, that takes some doing. Take during the Depression, for instance. You and I were the only ones that kept our hedge. You saved the building and loan, and I saved all the rest.
Well, most people say you stole all the rest.
The envious ones say that, George. The suckers.
Suckers.
Now, I've stated my side very frankly. Now, let's look at your side. Young man, 27, 28, married, making, say, 40 a week.
Hey, no, I make 45.
45. 45. Out of which, after supporting your mother and paying your bills and your crack habit, you're able to keep, say, 10 if you skimp. A child or two comes along and you won't even be able to save the 10. Now, if this young man of 28 was a common, ordinary yokel, I'd say he was doing fine. But George Bailey is not a common, ordinary yokel. He's an intelligent, smart, ambitious young man. Man who hates his job, who hates the building and loan, and I'm horny. A young man who's been dying to get out of this town ever since he was born. A young man, smartest one of the crowd, mind you. A young man who has to sit by and watch his friends go places because he's trapped. Yes, sir, trapped into frittering his life away playing nursemaid to a lot of garlic eaters. Do I paint a correct picture or do I exaggerate?
When's the last time you had a solid bowel movement, Mr. Potter?
Years, George, years.
What is your point?
My point? My point is I want to hire you. Hire me? I want you to manage my affairs, run my properties, George. I'll start you out at $20,000 a year.
$20,000. I do it like the DJs do. $20,000. $20,000 a year.
You wouldn't mind living in the nicest house in town, buying your wife a lot of fine clothes, a couple of business trips to New York a year, maybe once in a while Europe. You wouldn't mind that, would you, George?
Would I? Well, you're not talking to someone else around here, are you? You know, me? Me, personally, George Bailey?
Oh, yes, George Bailey, whose ship has just come in, providing he has the brains enough to climb aboard.
What about the building and loan?
Confound it, man. Are you afraid of success? I'm offering you a 3-year contract at $20,000 a year starting today. Is it a deal or isn't it?
No! Well, Mr. Potter, I...
Ouch.
I know I ought to jump at the chance, but I just wonder... Would it be possible, would you give me 24 hours to think it over?
Sure. You go on home and talk about it to your wife.
I'd like to do that.
In the meantime, I'll draw up the papers, and I'll put on some Depend undergarments.
Well, all right, sir.
Okay, George.
Okay, Mr. Potter.
No.
Now, wait a minute here. I don't have to talk to anybody. I know right now, and the answer is no. No. No, doggone it. No, goddammit. You sit around here and you spin Rabe, your little webs.
You can't talk. We can hear you when he's doing his little thing there.
Rabe, I am trying to deliver a scene. What are you talking about?
Nothing. I'm sorry, sir.
What were you saying?
It was a little joke for Billy.
Go ahead, George.
Well, here I am really trying to emote.
I'm sorry.
And have you noticed I'm really emoting, Sherry? You're the only actress here.
Good job.
I mean, of course, Mike's had theater experience, but it was back in his college days.
Try to get it back, Don. Try to get it back.
I can't, Mike. I'm sorry. The motivation is gone. No, doggone it. No. You sit around here and spin your little webs, and you think the whole world revolves around you and your money. Well, it doesn't, Mr. Stevens. In the whole vast configuration of things, I'd say you're nothing but a scurvy little spider. And that goes for you, too. And it goes for you, too.
Now, it's the morning of Christmas Eve, 1945. George Bailey is glowing with pride because his brother Harry has been awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor. It's front page news in Bedford Falls, and George is showing the paper to everyone, including Ernie the Cop.
What was the little joke you told Billy? I'd like to know. Share it with the class, please.
It said, here comes the part where he talks about Bono and the Edge, because he says, and that goes for you, too, and that goes for you, too. It's not a very good joke.
Oh, God.
I've been watching the movie for a long time, and I've always made that joke. I'm sorry, guys. Uh-oh. I'm sorry I ruined Christmas.
You, too. Where were we, Buzz? I'm sorry, I lost my place.
We're ready to start the last half there. George is showing everyone the newspaper about his brother Harry winning the Congressional Medal of Honor, and he's right now showing it to Ernie the Cop.
Hey, Barty, what are you doing? What do you need, son? Daddy's right in the middle of my biggest acting job ever. What?
I don't know where Billy put...
You don't know where Billy put what? Oh, your little toy? Your little rap toy? Okay, have a good time. He loves the toy his Uncle Mike gave him.
He's been a good boy today.
All right, so now I'm talking to Ernie the cab driver, right?
Right.
Hey, Ernie. Look at that.
Yeah, gonna snow again.
What do you mean it's going to snow again? Look at the headlines.
I know. I think it's marvelous.
Commander Harry Bailey. Mr. Gower, look at this. The second page. No, now look. This is for you. This is for you. This is for you. See you again.
Even old Uncle Billy is beaming as he makes the bank deposit at the Potter Savings Bank.
December 24th. 8,000...
Suddenly, Potter's wheelchair gets pushed in the bank and is greeted by Uncle Billy.
Well, good morning, Mr. Potter. What's the news? Well. Harry Bailey wins Congressional Medal. That couldn't be one of the Bailey boys. You just can't keep those Baileys down, can you, Mr. Potter?
How does Slacker George feel about that?
Very jealous. He only lost 3 buttons off his vest. Of course, Slacker George would have gotten 2 of those medals if he had gone.
Bad ear.
Yes.
Unfortunately, the doddering Uncle Billy leaves the bank deposit folded up in Potter's newspaper. A regrettable error.
After all, Potter, some people like George had to stay home. Not every heel was in Germany and Japan.
Good morning, Mr. Bailey.
Good morning, Horace.
I guess you forgot something.
What?
You forgot something.
What?
Well, aren't you going to make a deposit today?
Sure I am.
Well then, Brainiac, it's usually customary to bring the money with you.
Shucks. I know I had... I'm so bewildered.
How about that one there?
Meanwhile, back at the building and loan...
You just make yourself at home, Mr. Carter. I'll get these books for you. Oh, hello, Vi.
George, can I see you for a second?
Why, of course you can. Just come right back here to my love room. Uncle Billy, talk to Harry. He's on the telephone.
Hurry, Uncle Billy. Long distance. Harry, Washington. Here's Harry on the phone. Your nephew, remember? Here he is.
Hello. Yes. Yes, Harry. Yes, everything's fine. Click. I should have my head examined. Oh, my God, $8,000. It's got to be somewhere. What am I going to do?
All right, now I'm done with this. Here you go. Violet, this is for you.
Character? If I had any character, I'd...
It takes a lot of character to leave your hometown and start all over again.
No, George, don't.
No, here, take the money. You're broke, aren't you?
I know, but I can't.
Hey, listen, what do you want to do, phone sex? You want to walk to New York? You know, they charge for meals and rent up there just the same as they do in Bedford Falls.
Yeah, sure.
Listen, it's a loan. That's my business, building and loan. Besides, you're going to get a job. Good luck to you.
I'm glad I know you, George Bailey.
Give me a kiss on the cheek. Say hello to New York for me.
Yeah, sure, I will.
Now let's hear from you. What's the matter? Merry Christmas, Vi.
Merry Christmas, George.
Mr. Bailey?
Oh, Mr. Carter, I'm sorry. I'll be right with you. Is Uncle Billy in?
Yeah, he's in his office.
Hey, Uncle Billy. What's going on now? The bank examiner is here, and I don't know what he wants.
He's here. He's here.
Yeah. Now he said he wants the accounts payable. Uncle Billy, what's the matter with you? Eustace?
Yeah?
Come here a minute.
Yeah.
Did you see Uncle Billy with any cash last night?
He had it on his desk, cutting it up before he closed up.
Now look, Uncle Billy. Did you buy anything?
Nothing! Nothing, George! Not even a stick of gum!
All right, then don't worry. We're going to go over every step you took since you left the house.
Oh, which way? This way!
The search was none too fruitful, though, so they tried to regroup and strategize in Uncle Billy's office.
That's the sound of deep thinking. Did you put the envelope in your pocket?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, yeah.
Maybe! I don't want any more maybe! Uncle Billy, we've got to find that money!
I'm no good to you, George! I'm no good! I don't know what I'm doing!
Listen to me, Uribo. Do you have any secret hiding place here in the house? Somewhere you could have put it? Some place to hide the money?
I've gone over the whole house! Even in rooms that have been locked ever since I lost Laura!
Listen to me! Think!
I can't think anymore, George. I can't think anymore. It hurts my brain. Ow.
Yeah. Where's that money, you stupid old fool? Where's the money? Where's the effing money?
Oh, no.
Do you realize what this means? It means bankruptcy and scandal and prison. That's what it means. One of us is going to jail. I want to tell you something right now, you big four-headed Uncle Billy. It's not going to be me.
George Bailey storms angrily out of the office.
Buzz the
and
bells.
And comes home to Mary and the kids.
The bells mean we've got to take a break. Now, the question is, in our next segment, can we wind up the play? Can we go from page 253 to page 322 in the next segment?
Sure we can.
We're on a roll.
Hey, Mr. Joke Writer. Hey, Mr. You Too.
Yes, Alan Brady.
Flappy.
And you know what? I wouldn't mind that. I look at that as a compliment. Perhaps in the coming year, I will call you Mel, as in Mel Cooley, and you could refer to me as Alan Brady.
Deal.
If you could possibly do some selective editing now to give us the best scene so we can wind all of this up in our next break, okay? All right, hey, it's the Don and Mike presentation of It's a Wonderful Life, and we'll have the last scene right after this.